It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along on this Saturday. Had a lot to talk about here. Just quickly, to set the stage for this, I got a lot of commentary there from the Twitter feed and on Facebook that we got to do this thing that you would think, people listen to us all the time, think that Mike and I get to fish together all the time, and we don't.
No, we don't.
It's kind of like a once or twice a year thing, but we made
maybe
it.
Maybe three times on a good year.
So we made it happen the other day, fishing out of Mississippi on their one-day snapper season.
Yeah, I got some comments on that. I put it on Facebook and went snapper fishing, caught snapper, and, you know, it's, how'd you go snapper fishing, you know?
We read the regulations.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll have here at home in Alabama another shot at this coming up in October,
right,
out of Alabama waters for a three-day. So got to do that. It was good. So maybe we'll go together in October, too.
We will.
If we make it four times in a season, it'll be a – I wish we got to fish together more, but it's always fun going with Mike.
We can go with this guy.
Well, maybe we can just have him put us on his boat.
Or following. That'd be better.
This is a conversation we had while we were out there fishing on Saturday, and I am just now fascinated by the world of deep drop and deep dropping. And
yes,
the one name that came up as I started talking to people about who should I talk to, I want to do something about deep dropping. They said Kurt Tillman.
Yep.
And so luckily he's joining us now, Captain Kurt Charters, Kurt Tillman, to give us a big lesson on deep dropping. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for being on.
Yep.
Let's talk this, Kurt. So you've been fishing for how long?
Well, my family was my dad's shrimp. So if I wanted to see him every summer while everybody else was going to do their thing, ever since I was 10, I went on a shrimp boat like to Texas for 30 days at a time, and they'd be working at night mainly, and I'd be staying up and fishing off the back of that boat every day.
Yep.
So after working on the shrimp boat, you're my kind of people. You then were going to fish on the rest of the time. So obviously you had the bug early on. So as you developed fishing around here, did you go to deep dropping early? Has this been something you came to later? How long have you been interested in fishing a little further out?
Well, I'm sitting here just, I'm in my office. I'm looking back at a picture, and I got David Sims, Pumpkin, was out there fishing, and I actually learned a lot from him. He's commercial fishermen, been doing it for years, and he is out there deep dropping back before most people had Electromate, and
yep,
and before we had all these dials and all that stuff, and I was out there, and I just, grouper is one of my favorite fish to eat, so I was always wanting to catch them, and so probably for about 15 years now, I've been deep dropping, and back then it was a lot easier. It's just, you not only could you catch a limited grouper, you catch a limited scamp too at the same time, and I just always like a deep dropping thing because you kind of never knew what you was going to catch, and it's just always that excitement in it. And when you get on the grouper right, it's just instant. As soon as that line hits bottom, a lot of times you get a bite. So just one of them things that I just really enjoy doing.
So when you was talking about deep dropping out there with David Sims, Pumpkin Sims, everybody knows him as as Pumpkin. How deep of water were you fishing at that time? Were you fishing 300, 400, 500 foot of water deep dropping?
It just depends.
I'm talking about back in that day, back then.
Back in then, we'd start out around 400 and maybe go to 680, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was deep dropping back then.
And that's what I want to get to, Kurt. And if you're just joining us, talking to Kurt Tillman, Captain Kurt Charters, and we're talking deep dropping on today's show. And I'm going to school here because I'm fascinated by it. I've been just a couple times now, and I just realized that I don't know anything. So I want to dive into it and get more knowledge. And so to break it down, we have somebody who's been doing this. Now, you talk about deep dropping, talking about going out there because you were focused on grouper. But there's a bunch of other species which I've seen out there. Do you consider, this is kind of a question, a philosophical question, is deep dropping based on the fish you're going after or the depth you're in? In other words, if you say, if somebody says, I'm deep dropping, is it because they're going after a snowy grouper or they're going after a scamp or they're going after a tilefish, or is it because they're in 400 feet? Is there a line where you say, well, we're just reef fishing and now we're deep dropping?
Well, I consider it deep dropping because nobody wants to reel a 4-pound, 5-pound weight back and forth by hand that many times. And
you're right.
Getting like 300-plus foot of water is just one of them things that's so much more productive with these electric reels. And basically, a lot of people that go out there and fish, they only are deep dropping, I would say. They're only fishing with a couple of reels or something like that. I'm usually fishing with six. But to be able to do that out there, and not all, you can't do it all the time because of the tide. I mean, sometimes you go out there and you just can't fish it because there's so much tide. But you got to have that heavy weight on there to keep everybody from tangling up. And I just would consider it deep dropping when you have to, you get out there and you want to fish a bunch of people and not get tangled up. And probably, I've been basically starting out, in the 200 and something foot of water, and just rigging everybody up, with the deep drop reels and stuff like that, just because it's easier and it's more productive.
Now, I've got to circle back around to this because fishing six is amazing to do that, stay untangled. But I want to, before I get into that, you mentioned that. So we'll talk about conditions. I want to go back to depth and talk about species. I got so many questions for you, but you talked about conditions. Are you waiting for a certain slack in currents out there? Can the current be too much? You can't deep drop.
Oh yeah, yeah. And a lot of sometimes it is, and I've had to run 30 miles to the east or west before to try to get to a spot where we could fish. And sometimes it's just too much tide out there to even consider deep dropping because your line's strung out there, even inshore. And everybody knows it's been fishing a lot, and the tide was terrible earlier on this snapper season. You put a line out, and, I mean, the sucker's strung out behind the boat.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to get the bottom somewhere. It's the same thing offshore, except your scope of water and your line's going to be a lot farther back there, and it's basically impossible to fish and get down on the spot that you want to be on, and, especially in that depth of water.
Yeah, you're talking about the spot you want to be on, too. And Mike's got a question. I want to come back to that, though.
Well, I was just saying, I know how kind of difficult it is to have two lines out bottom fishing in that deep of water because your line is out some. It's stretched out some if you got a little current. And I assume that you're drifting a pretty good bit, right? Or are you trying to hold on a spot?
No, I'm holding on the spot.
Really? Okay.
Okay. Okay, well, it's harder to hold on a spot with current running in 600-800 foot of water than it is with current running in 100 foot of water.
I play hell with it in 125 feet trying to put a good snapper in the boat, so I can't imagine on the.
So that is that you're amazing to be able to do that, put six lines down and hold your boat there and not get tangled up.
So you're trying to stay. You're trying to stay over those fish, right? I mean, you're. Instead of drifting, you're trying to stay above them, just like we're snapper fishing.
Yeah.
So you're fishing a rock, or are you fishing a ledge, or?
Well, the funny thing about deep dropping is, most of the time, if you find a rock or something out there, some of them's better than others. But the funny thing about these groupers, sometimes they'll just be on like, they just marked like these little bitty dots.
Yep.
The bottom machine, and it's mud bottom down there, but that's where they're at. And I don't know what if they're eating some kind of shell out of there. I don't really know what they're doing right there. But there's no structure right there on some of my better spots, and it'd be impossible for basically somebody to find them unless you knew just exactly what you was looking for. And that's some of my better spots are just spots. It's just like a mud bottom down there, and I don't know exactly what makes those spots. Maybe it's some kind of shells down there or something, but they just mark like a little bit of green dots on the bottom machine, and that's where they're at.
You know, you're blowing people's minds, right? I mean, those of us that, you know, the snapper fishermen, the idea that there wouldn't be something show up off the bottom, even live, you know, live bottom shows up. But you're talking about something that you're not marking up something that's coming up off the bottom. It's just an area that happens to hold the fish for some that looks like a bunch of other areas, right? It doesn't stand out a whole bunch.
Yeah, it don't stand out a whole lot. Like, just on my last trip, we caught a pretty good lot of scamp already, and I said, well, we're going to move on out. We didn't catch a lot of live bait, and sometimes if you're out there, another thing too, if you're out there and you're basically deep dropping and you're out in that deep water, the live bait, you might as well just throw it out the door. It doesn't even matter out there.
Right.
You're gonna catch more fish on cut bait, dead squid, whatever. The live bait's just insignificant at that point. So when you get out there and you target in, like, and you will every once in a while, you'll catch a yellow edge or something on live bait on up 300 plus foot of water or something like that. And some of my best yellow edge come out of, under 400 foot of water, even 280 at times, but usually been in the winter, But when you get down in that, in some of that bottom, like on the last trip, I was actually going to a spot, and I just said, oh, man, there they are. So we just passed them because this little bit of green dots down there. We dropped down. We caught seven grouper,
How about between
the people on the boat. And it was all snowies. But, it's just knowing kind of what to look for when you do see it. And you know what I'm saying? So,
yep. Well, we're going to find out. Yeah, we'll run to the break and come back more with Captain Kurt Tillman. I'm going to find out. I know what he's saying, he's seeing, but we're going to try to bring it back to
what you think he's talking about.
A guy that knows nothing about deep dropping, like me, that's been his whole life growing up looking for snapper wrecks. Yep. How do I figure this out? We're going to talk more about that with Captain when we get back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And, man, heck, if we add the conversation, the questions we ask Captain Kurt Tillman during the news break, along with the ones we ask here, this may be one of our longest shows ever, but they cut us off after an hour. We may do an extended thing for podcasts here. It is a real pleasure to talk to Captain Kurt Tillman and Captain Kurt Charters. And I know you fish. I mean, looking at your pictures, you're fishing snapper, you're fishing all kind of fish in the Gulf, but this deep dropping thing, you have had a decade and a half advance on everybody, and I would say everybody, not a whole bunch of people doing it now, but it does get discussed more and more by folks, and I think, what do you think? I mean, you think it's fact that, that we can't fish snapper, that people are going to push out there a little bit further?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically what's going on. I mean, we've got abundance of red snapper, and to get outside of catching them, you just got to go in the deep water. I mean, that's what it boils down to, because nobody wants to sit there and catch red snapper all day long. And even you got to basically about the 380-foot mark is usually where we stop kind of catching the red snapper. And we still get them out there. And the bad thing about them is you can do whatever you want at that point, but that snapper's probably not going to make it.
Right. No, he's not. When you come out of that 300-400 foot of water, I would doubt that fish is going to make it.
Yeah.
Especially on an electric reel, and you bring him up fast.
And that brings up another beef and conversation I have with the. But we've done 20 weeks worth of shows about my issues on snapper management, so we'll stay with the happy Ed talking right now. You're mentioning before we went to break the subtlety of that spot where you found those grouper. Is that always the rule? Because as somebody, you know, I got a snapper fisherman's brain my whole life. So I'm thinking, mm-hmm. we're going to find that spot. It's going to mark up good, right? And then we're going to mark up fish off of it.
And well, we're going to catch our grouper.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, that's every time. I mean, but I do have spots like that, and I was just going from one spot to the next spot pretty much at a dead idle, just creeping over there. When I run across those fish, I knew that what I was looking for, and I was like, hey, man, we're going to drop down. I basically marked it and turned around, got on top of it, and I said, hey, as soon as it hits, I said, it's going to be, y'all going to have a bite, because a lot of times if those fish bite, they're going to bite right there off the bat. This is another thing that y'all need to know about deep dropping. Once you go fish a spot a couple times, those fish don't come back. They're not like a snapper. They're a fish that's pretty much there. And when you catch, let's just say there's 10 grouper on that spot, I think that those fish usually bite, you know, a little bit better than some of the other fish. And once you catch them off there, you're probably not going to catch another grouper off that spot till the following year. I mean, that's
really?
Like, might as well just, like, put a check mark on it and say, hey, I'll come back next year, because you're not going to go back and catch 10 more grouper off that spot. It's not going to happen. I mean, I think at a certain time, those fish come in from offshore, from maybe somewhere else, and, you know, if you fish it one March, it's probably going to be the next March before you go back out there and catch any fish off that spot again, because they just don't it's just not a fish that comes back. And I think that's some people's dilemma, is they go out there and they got, you know, 5 or 6 deep drop spots, and they go fish them and they done pretty good. Well, guess what? It's like, unlike a snapper spot where you can probably go back out there and there's hundreds of fish on this reef or on this spot, the fish you caught, I mean, it's over and done with. You need to find 5 more spots.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, when you were idling from one spot to the other and you ran over this spot with those grouper on it, you caught them. Now, did you have your recorder on Zoom looking at the bottom, or normal?
When I'm out there, I've got it zoomed up probably 50 foot off the bottom where I can actually, you know,
see the bottom.
Really good on bottom, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've definitely got the bottom zoomed in.
Yeah, do you have?
And, you'll find, you know, people catch good grouper on pipeline crossing, some of them deep water rigs at times, and some those rocks out there are good. But I'm just saying, don't limit yourself to trying to find all that all the time, because it might just be a few white little old green dots on bottom in between somewhere where you're traveling. Don't just pass it up. Because that might be where they're at. They're not always just on the spot.
Now, do you have the mapping, like the Seymour mapping or the Garmin mapping or some other mapping showing you all the rocks?
Yeah, I've got that. And, you know, it's good to have. Some people, I'm looking at that now from all the spots that I had. It's amazing how much more stuff's out there that I didn't know about.
Sure. Yeah, all of us.
Yeah, it's basically got everything. So, you know, if I think anything you can get, any tool, a good help. They make a bunch of different deep drop rigs, different people sell, and stuff like that. Now, some of it, I think, makes a difference, and some of it doesn't, you know.
You talking about mapping?
Because
The mapping's all pretty much good, but I'm talking about the different rigs.
Okay. Yeah, and I want to circle back in our next set, because I want to get dialed into kind of what the tackle is. But once again, a lot of questions here. And when you're talking to Mike about this and this spot, and now we're kind of focused on the spot, but let's think about this from, okay, I'll put myself as a guinea pig here. New to this, been twice. I got lots of numbers, catch snapper on. Over the years, I got nothing, and you told me, don't worry about that so much for this deep dropping. But Captain Kurt, that's a big dang Gulf of Mexico, and there's a lot of area out there. How does somebody who's getting into this even start? Now, you and I had a conversation off air the other day about a depth range for grouper, and I don't know how much of that you want to talk about, but how does, looking at it, if you were brand new to this, how do you start cutting this pie up? Where do you even start?
Well, what I would do to start is just get familiar. I would get you some deep drop rigs made up, whatever. Go out there, get on some of these rocks, catch beeliners, catch some other stuff, get familiar with it, and then just work your way on out and on some of these rocks. Or go to a big rock place where you ain't got to hold yourself up as much, like the Salt Dome, and get on the edges out there where it's a little bit deeper and something that's bigger where you can get that experience in, and you'll probably pick up a few grouper on something like that, or off to the east where there's where there's a lot more rocks just all around where you can fish a bigger spot and get familiar with, you know, just holding up the boat and fishing with the tackle and stuff like that. And just basically what you got to do is just work around all that and get familiar with everything, and then go on out on some deeper rocks and stuff like that. And if you get over there on some of them, a lot of people will tile fish. And if you go tile fishing out there, they kind of like live in colonies, if you ever done any, like prairie dogs or something.
But they make burrows, don't they? Don't they dig in the mud and make a house?
I think they do, but that, like, you could go tile fishing, and they're pretty productive with it over there to the further to the east, just kind of drifting along, you know. And so you don't have to worry about holding it up too much. I don't think you could fish with as many reels down, but you might could fish with a couple, two or three on one side or something like that if you're drifting, to keep from tangling everything up. But
So the depth, too. Okay, so I like this. I mean, you're helping me, because, like, the beginners, they'd be going, finding those bigger rocks, easier to mark up, easier to hold on. You catch some, could catch some grouper there, and I guess beeliners as well, and white snapper?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said something, I know this is kind of not exactly with something we talked about during the break, beeliners, because I got a weird obsession with beeliners, I guess. You said that out there, they're moving through. Like that, the grouper situation, you could catch them all out till the next year. But you said beeliners, you could get on the beeliners one day on the spot and go back out there and have no guarantee that they're still there.
That's exactly right, man. Those fish are hard to keep up with. And I really like catching beeliners because they're good fish to eat, and they're fun to catch. And I fish a lot with the 5-hook gear, so with the smaller hooks. And sometimes we do really well on the beeliners. And you can go get on a rock, and generally, if you're not marked, now with the beeliners, you need to mark them to be able to, you know, on something like that,
you'll see those. And you'll see beeliners mark up off the bottom versus those grouper.
Oh, yeah. And if you see them marking, that's what you want to look at. And sometimes they're only on one side of rock or something like that, but you want to fish where they marking at, basically. And, you know, they're always fun to catch. And if you get out in that deeper water, you get some really nice size ones. And good going right there.
I love them. I don't know why.
They are excellent.
I'm pretty obsessed with the grouper. Which, by the way, if y'all are listening this morning, if you're driving down the road, don't do this. But once you get home, or if you're already home, you check out on Facebook, Captain Kurt Charters. I mean, my gosh, the boxes of fish are.
And if somebody wants to get a charter with you, what do they do? Kirk,
I've got a fishing app, Fishing Chaos, and they look on there and book me, or they can just call me. My number's on my Facebook page, my Instagram page, or whatever.
Okay, yeah, it's Captain Kurt Charters, and we'll link it up as well.
KURT,
and
yeah.
So you mentioned tile; he's got my brain jumping around. But the tile fish too. I've been watching videos people have taken on the bottom with these jokers and coming out of their, like, caves or whatever, their prairie dog burrows, like you said. Are they, in your estimation, fishing tile fish? First of all, I guess, tell us kind of the depth for tile fish, and then are they kind of evenly spread everywhere on a mud bottom, or are there spots that are better than others? How do you figure that out?
Well, if I'm, and every once in a while I'll get somebody says, "Hey, well, we want to go catch tilefish." Generally, if you know the blue line tiles, you'll catch blue line tiles from anywhere from 280 on out to, you know, 600 foot or something like that. You'll catch nice blue line tile and, you know, scattered out around the rocks, like even if you're beeliner fishing out there, you want, you know, use those smaller hooks and stuff like that. I catch a lot of blue line tiles on and closer. Then when you get out like 680 and 800 foot and stuff like that, it's usually where I do better on the golden tiles. And if you're just like fishing a mud flat, or you looked at one of these mapping things and seen where there's a big trough or something like that, and you just fishing up in the trough and you catch one, well, chances are if you catch one, you need to probably put a mark on it, because okay, there's probably going to be some more right there because they hang out in little groups. So you might want to pull back up and try that spot again later or something like that, because there's probably some more around.
So there, like you said earlier, kind of colonies of them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there, but you mentioned, I mean, you could find them on the rocks or near the rocks, but you mentioned mud. And so this is tough to think about, once again, with the snapper brain. You know, we're always looking for something. We want to get out of mud.
They're going to look just like those grouper look down there. You'll just be going along, and you'll see like a bunch of little green dots or something down there. And there they are. That's them. And if you see that marking up on your machine, you probably need to turn around or try to get back right where you're marking that and drop back down. And other than that, you won't see too much of anything. But when you start seeing just, you know, some little dots and stuff down there, or sometimes you'll, you know, you'll get marked some kind of little wedge or something, just depending on what kind of bottom you're fishing. And they'll, you know, they hang out good on those ledges and stuff like that too, especially when you get on out in that, you know, 600-800 foot mark, they, you know, even 1200 foot, it's been real good for the golden tile, and man, they're really good to eat too.
But that, a lot of times that bottom would just be kind of flat, won't it?
Yeah,
it won't
will.
Show anything. And a lot of times, I guess, if you drop down and you catch a tilefish, then a lot of times you probably could just drift through there in that area, same area, and probably pick up some more.
Yeah, I would think so, because they're in those, like those colonies or whatever. So you catch one in a spot, you probably want to mark it, or even if you don't catch none back that time, I'd go back to it and try it again if you're actually trying to catch them.
Right. Let's do this. Run to the break. Coming right back. More with Captain Kurt Tillman, Captain Kurt Charters, talking about deep dropping. It's a big old gulf out there. This man's figured it out how to get it done. And
he has.
And the number of species, too. If y'all start digging around on this, you know, if you had just a brain, oh, it's just beeliners. And then you hear, you know, groupers. I'm going to have him break down the different kind of groupers out there. But then tilefish and different kind of tilefish. And it's a lot of stuff going on out there. It's a big old gulf. And we're trying to get some more information right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Remember, check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Now, the big Facebook page is FM Talk 106.5, but Mike and I hang out on the
106.5 Outdoors.
And there's no point in that. After all these years of training you, and
there's a point somewhere.
There's a point on your dial, but not in our name, because it messes up .coms and all that stuff. Come on, let's get back to what our conversation with Captain Kurt Tillman, talking about deep dropping. And we kind of got into this for a second earlier, but I said, let's hold up, because I want to put this in its own segment. And I know we're just barely brushing the top of these conversations. We'll have to have more in the future. But the gear, Captain Kurt, I mean, the gear you're using that makes this deep dropping possible, kind of run through what a rig is from where it sits in the rod holder to what's being bitten on by the fish at the bottom.
Well, I've got 45-degree rod holders, and I've got a few 30s, but I like the 45s better. And I'm using a bent butt reel, so it's already sticking straight out away from the boat. And basically, typically most of your deep drop rigs are probably 5 foot long because you got several hooks on them. Some of them. And every once in a while, a lot of times I'll fish just a couple people with just like a straight up sow rig, except you just got a big heavy weight on it. And we'll catch, you know, it's just like anything else. Maybe we'll put a bigger bait on it, or maybe that bait will be holding closer to the bottom when it gets down there and something, you know, we'll just try to mainly target a bigger fish on that sometimes. And you can pick up jacks in that deep water too, and there's generally a bigger amberjack or something like that too. But basically, I use a 4 to a 5 pound weight and on bottom. And you can buy these deep drop rigs at different stores right here, Mobile. They got Jay at Tackle Deal sells them, and different people sell them. Orange Beach got several people that sell them over there. But if I'm fishing, I'll use a 5 hook rig with the smaller hooks, basically targeting. We'll catch a few scamp or beeliners, white snapper, what have you. If I get on out, I'll go to a few less hooks, like a 3 hook rig with the bigger hooks. And if I get on out there and try to catch tile fish, something like that, I go back to the 5 hook gear with the smaller hooks or barrel grouper or something like that, have a smaller mouth, and you go just to the smaller pieces of squid. And another thing too is, when you're fishing in all that deep water, a lot of people, those I usually fish with dollar reels, got a whole pile of them. And
you're talking about electric reels now.
These are, yeah, yes. Electric.
Yeah, electric. Yeah, the dollar, the 1,000.
Tenacon 1,000.
They have a 100-pound or 150-pound braid on them. And, you know, you just clip that 5-hook. Rig on there, or a 3-hook rig, or even a single sow hook, or whatever you want to put on there. And the big weight helps it get down quicker. And if you fish them more than a couple rigs, it helps to keep when it actually hits the bottom. I like everybody to come up where it's just like either barely bouncing on bottom or just straight down on bottom, depending on the sea and stuff like that and the condition. If you're fishing, if you're getting some coal or something like that, you're going to lose a whole lot of weight.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of rigs like that. But there's a way, like 90% of the time, I've got the right people on the boat, or you back down on it, get right over top of it, you can do what I call bounce it out. You just slack it off, you'll feel it giving a little bit, and you pull it up and down a few times, and it usually comes off. It's like throwing a cast net over a stump. You go pull right back over top of it, it'll come right off.
Right.
But that's basically what kind of rigs we use and the weights and stuff like that.
Now, what about lights?
Yeah, do you blink?
No light,
do you?
Hey, no light, no bite. Nah.
Yeah, I heard that in a video I watched. So you're saying it too. You got to put some light there.
I use them when we get generally out and like, start getting out in the 450 mark, and they do seem to work. I like putting the lights on.
Now is there? So this is from a beginner's perspective. So I got to looking at lights, and there's blinkers, and then there's glow sticks, and then there's a lot of lights out there, Captain Kirk. What kind of light do you run?
I run in little blinking lights that. And I also got the glow sticks too, just for like a backup. On an average day of deep dropping, it gets expensive out there. Cause just on like a regular day, I'd say I'll probably lose 4 to 5 rigs on a regular day, and sometimes I've lost as many as 10. And another problem is you know, you've got so many sharks now.
Yeah.
Certain Money. Spot, it's not that you're hanging up, it's just that these sharks are getting your fish and they're cutting your whole rig off. So sometimes you'll get in a bind out there, and it does get expensive fishing out there at times because you're looking at a lot of money just for one of those big weights or something like that. And it's mainly the sharks that end up getting most of them. But
now you talked about story. Yeah, you talked about weight too. You said you were using 4 or 5 pound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty standard. I mean, if you're doing 250 foot of water, you're doing 800 foot or 1200 foot. Like you run the same kind of weights, or do you change them out by the depth?
No, I use the same weight.
Keep it simple.
It doesn't matter about the depth. It seemed like I use the same weight.
Now, and then people are going to say, well, where the heck do I get a 4 or 5 pound weight, Captain Kirk? Where do I get something like that?
Jay right there, Tackle Disc sells them. Places in Orange Beach sells them. What's the name of them places over there, Mike?
J&M Tackle, Sam's Tackle.
Yeah.
Over at Orange Beach, and then Jay at Tackle This, Shoot That. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have you some.
That's
They are hard to find. I mean, they really are. And then those rigs too, the deep dropping rigs, you can't buy those anywhere either. Jay's got them at Tackle This, Shoot That, and then J&M and Sam's, and I think maybe Bass Pro Shop may have a few of them, but they're pretty much $18 to about $25 a piece for the deep dropping rigs too.
So that's what you're saying. Yeah. It gets expensive.
Yeah, you lose 10 of those, right. You're losing $200, and then the weights are like $20 a piece or so. So one rig might be $40, $45 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose 10 of those.
Oh man, that does add up.
Yeah,
man. As you go out there and you start, you're talking about your favorite, and people can see this when they look at your Facebook page. Grouper are your favorite. But just saying grouper doesn't tell the whole story. There's more than one kind of grouper out there.
Right, exactly.
Well, what species do we have grouper-wise that you catch with consistency, and are they all kind of in the same places, or do they have different depths that they like?
Well, like me and you was talking the other day, and I was telling you about gag grouper. I mean, if I was going to catch a big gag, basically it was like sweet spot, I think, on some fish. If I was going to catch a big gag, it'd be like from 220 to 240, because most of the really big gags I've ever caught have been right there at like, just like you put writing a number down or something. It's like 230, give or take a few feet here and there. And that's where I always catch the biggest gag at, and it's just one of them things.
That's like a window. That's a 20-foot window.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I mean, and it may vary with other people, and that's just my experience in catching them, for whatever reason, there's a lot of them that like that depth of water, and I've caught them shallower and deeper, of course, but I've caught most of them in that 230-foot range.
Now, around structure? Are you fishing around structure at that point, or are you fishing rocks?
Yeah, that's just wreck fishing, basically.
Wreck fishing,
rocks,
okay.
Or something like that. And, but that area right there holds a lot of gags. Now, scamp, you catch scamp in 150-foot. Now, if you want to catch a bunch of them, I'd move on out. I mean, you're just dealing with... And you got red grouper and stuff like that. It's usually, hunt, you can catch them on the end. And gags, too. Like a long time ago, I used to catch a bunch of gags on the bridge trouble. But, I went snapper fishing all year, and we caught 5 or 6 gags this year, fishing all year. And up, in what I call within, 35 miles and inshore, we caught a bunch, I probably caught 5 or 6 gags this year, but that was it, and I caught all them up in the water column because I don't never fish on bottom snapper fishing, but
right. There are
a few more gags starting to show up again, but a long time ago I could catch them on the bridge rubble, and I know you go down in Florida and stuff like that and catch them in 30 foot of water, but when I'm out there in the deeper water is where I catch the big ones.
Let's want to talk about so we talk about those that are a little closer in. What about, like, everybody wants to talk about snowies? Where's that in Yellow Edge? Where do you catch those?
The Yellow Edge, getting 380 foot of water is pretty much kind of where they start. And most part, and go on out till the yellow edge. It seems like some spots you'll catch them together, and some other spots, like you go on down to the west, I think there's a few more yellow edge down there or something, and you get on out deeper, you start catching a few more yellow edge, and the snowies are kind of mixed in there with them as well.
So that general depth. Well, here's what you've done, is you've managed to give me thoughts for about 150 more questions. So I'm going to have to get you booked back on the show soon. But remind folks, too, they want to get a trip booked with you. I mean, they go look at your Facebook page and see the results of it. How do they do it? Once again, what's the fastest way to get in contact with you?
You just go to my Facebook page or, like I said, I got a fishing app at Fishing Chaos. They can look it up and book a trip with me, or go to my Instagram. It's Captain Kurt _ T, and they can kind of see all the pictures and what I've been catching and stuff like that. And like last three trips, I don't know if I ever went three trips in a row and caught a limit of grouper, but the trip that I went three days in a row and caught a limit, so that was about as good as it gets, with a bunch of other fish too, which amberjack and triggerfish and stuff like that's in now too, which gives us a little bump.
Kirk, most people don't even know there's a limit on grouper because they don't catch a limit. They have no idea.
Well said. Well said. All right, Cap Gert, we have to get you back on the show soon. Thanks for being on with us today.
All right, thank y'all.
Thank you, Kirk.
All right. Hey, good talking to you too. And subject that we're going to keep talking about going forward is I'm self-serving, getting an education myself.
Oh, I am too. As much as I've fished in the Gulf all my life, learned some stuff today with Captain Kirk.
All right, coming back to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. A big thank you to Kurt Tillman, Captain Kurt Charters, talking deep dropping today. And I really, for me, it's just beginning this education. And, part of this we talked about out there, you and I have talked about it, Mike, so many times. It's going to be more and more people that are doing this because
there he is.
I mean, you have a boat with twins, you have an offshore boat, and maybe snapper is your thing. But if you only get limited time for snapper, you want to make sure that. I mean, what else are you going to do? You can do trolling, you can kingfish, you can blue water fish. But if you're somebody like me that I gravitate towards reef fishing, and that's kind of. I still like everything.
I do too. I like it all. There's no part of it I don't like. I like everything about it. But it does give you something to do. I mean, with the snapper the way it is, a lot of times you can catch your snapper limit, two fish per person. You got five people, and you catch 10 fish in hour, let's say, 30 minutes, hour. Let's say 2 hours. Now, you're out 30 miles.
You've already burned all the gas to get out there.
40 miles, whatever you're at. And then you're just going to go out there for an hour, 2 hours, turn around and come back? No, you need to go do something different. And amberjack season's not in, triggerfish not in, so you need to go catch some.
Which they're in right now, but we're saying,
during snapper season, they're not in.
That's right.
So what else you do?
When snapper season's closed and you want to go bottom fishing.
Right. You got something to do. Now, I was out there one weekend. It was a beautiful weekend. It was slick calm. It was a beautiful weekend. But I was deep dropping. I was in about 300-something foot of water. John, I saw 50 boats out there. There was boats as far as you could see, everybody deep dropping out there.
And people, that's going to be more and more every year. So that's why we're trying to get that education and bring it to you here as well. All right, we got to hop out of here. We'll be back next week. Prep Sports Report on the way next.